at the book of Acts, and what the disciples were doing, the actions they were taking, the habits they had developed, the attitudes that they had developed. But disciples make up the church. And one of the things that if you have read through the book of Acts, like we've been encouraging you to do, is over and over, it keeps talking about how the church kept growing and the church was growing and more were added to their number daily and more people and the word grew and was honored by all. And a very common thing in the book of Acts is how the church is growing. So I wanted to look at some of the factors that we see in the church growing. There are, over the next 3 weeks, I'll look at one each week of things that seem directly tied to why the church in the book of Acts was growing. And so today, we're looking at church growth through miracles. But one thing just to make clear from the start, the most important factor that I'm not going to give a whole sermon to because it's a part of every other one, is the church was growing through the proclamation of truth, the proclamation of Jesus. He really lived, he really died, he really rose again, and he really is in a unique place of authority and power. He's not just this great teacher that's one among many. No, we're told that salvation is found in no one else but in Jesus, that all of these things that come after it come because of Jesus, the one who has the name that is far above every title and all dominion and all authority and the one name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess is Lord. So Jesus is kept very central in this. And as we look at everything else, don't forget, if you want to see the church continue to grow, it starts with proclamation of Jesus. You can't divorce those two. So every other factor includes that truth about Jesus. And the messages in Acts show that. As you see, every time that Peter is speaking or Paul is speaking, they keep doing that. But today's factor, I'm wanting to focus on miracles. Now, I studied to be a journalist. I worked in a newspaper for a few years. And one of the main things that they teach you, especially as a reporter, is that you're looking for five W's and an H. Those are the questions you need to ask. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And so today, I'm going to look very quickly at those five W's and H. Some of them I'll give a little more time to than others. The first one, just the what, is we're talking about miracles. The when, we're looking at the examples taken from the Bible that were in the first 100 years AD, in that first century. But I believe that the reason we're looking at it is so that we would see those sorts of things in our lifetime. The how, that's kind of the all-important one. How does it work? How does it happen? And there are lots of books and lots of sermons on teaching about miracles and plenty of things that could be said or have been said, and some of them have been very good to say. Some of them maybe have been unnecessary. I'm just going to give you the very quick 101 on it. And it's not a lot of hocus pocus. It's not a 12-step guide. It's faith in Jesus. That is what we're told. I'll show you an example. In Acts 3:16, Peter and John had been going to the temple to pray. They see a man who is lame. Peter says, "Hey, look at me," and says, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." The man's able to walk. And as Peter is then addressing the whole crowd, he tells them exactly how this happened. He says it's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. He doesn't make it long or difficult, simply says, our proclamation is about Jesus, as I said at the beginning. Every other thing about church growth has solely to do with Jesus first. And he continues to speak about Jesus after that. And the outcome of it in Acts 4:4 is we see that many people hear and they believe. And that's something that we continue to see throughout the book of Acts. And then the why. Why would God do miracles, and why does that work that direction? It's to confirm the message about who Jesus is. God will do miracles, not just to show that he's a big, powerful God in the sky, but it's specifically to confirm the message of who Jesus is, of the power that comes in Jesus' name, of the life that has come through Jesus, the resurrection life that has been given in Jesus after that point. Mark 16:20, we're told that the disciples went and were preaching everywhere, and the Lord worked with them to prove that their preaching was true by the miracles that were performed. Even as Peter was preaching to the crowd on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2, he says that Jesus himself was a man who had divine authority. He was clearly proven for that by the miracles and wonders that he did. It was given as a proof, as a confirmation. In Acts 14:3, it says that the apostles, they stayed in the city for a long time. They're speaking boldly about the Lord, who proved that their message about his grace was true by giving them power to perform miracles and wonders. Paul later uses that as he's trying to defend the fact that he is an apostle, that he is one sent by God to tell the story about Jesus. And Paul says to people, I did those things that mark an apostle. I did those things that mark one sent. I did signs and wonders and miracles were performed among you. And then that led to the church growing, to people seeing that truth. That message is confirmed and people believed it. In Acts chapter 9, we see an example of that, where there was a paralyzed man. He'd been lying in bed for 8 years, hadn't been able to go anywhere. And then Peter comes along into that city, heals that man, and says, Jesus Christ makes you well. Get up and make your bed. Take your bed with you. And at once, Annas gets up. And all the people who were living in the city, Lydia and Sharon, saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Because they said, wait, we see that there is something about this message. It's not one that comes and just tries to set up a nice philosophy, but it's one that has a power. It's one that's very practical in our daily lives. That is the message of Jesus. It's not just a nice philosophy. It's not just a nice moral teaching of how to structure your life that way. It's instead a real relationship with God, and it's something that has power, that can heal lives, that can change families, that can change communities, that can change cities and nations. I have, I think, 15 more verses or so that show these various times where people are preaching and the sick are healed, demon-possessed are set free, and more people are believing. One of them is Philip. He's preaching, and a bunch of people in the area of Samaria accept Jesus. And another one is Ananias, who comes to a man named Saul, places his hand on him, and before he had been blind, like scales were over his eyes, and those came off. And then Saul decides to get baptized after he has this happen. Peter raises a dead woman back to life, and the city hears, and many people in Joppa believe. And again, and again, and again, and again, people are in prison, and they see a miracle happen. It's not a miracle of healing, just a miracle of setting people free, where the chains come off of them. And then because of that, the jailer and his family all turn to Jesus. Over and over again, we see in the book of Acts that God does a miracle. It's connected with the teaching, the preaching, the proclamation of the truth of Jesus, and it changes people. That is our hope. That is our prayer. About a year and a half ago, I think it was, my wife and I traveled to Malta just to get to see it. And they still have a place there that, whether it's the exact place where Paul was or not, we don't know, but a man in the Bible named Paul in the book of Acts ends up getting shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And as he's there, first he gets bitten by a snake and everyone says, oh, God must hate you because you survived the shipwreck and now you got bitten by a poisonous snake and you're going to die. But instead of dying, he continues to live and they're just, what is happening with this guy? We don't know. And eventually he gets brought to the governor's house.
And his father is sick.
And he prays for him. That man gets healed. And then that opens a door for all the people on the island or in the vicinity. They're bringing them around saying, hey, can you pray for these people and have them get healed too? And it was amazing to me because I get to stand in a place where biblical events happen. This isn't just a long time ago in a land far, far away. This really happened. And I really believe that it can continue to happen, that God still wants to change lives and change families. And he does that in part through miracles, but so that he can show people his truth. If people don't understand the truth, if they only get a miracle but don't get the truth about Jesus, then it's lacking. I mean, a miracle that God uses changes for a certain point of time, but there is so much more that he wants, and that's his truth that lasts forever to be put into our hearts. So what should we do? I think we should do similar to what the believers in Acts chapter 4 did. In verse 24 through 30, it shows that the believers come together and they're praying. And part of their prayer, as they're united in prayer, is this: Sovereign Lord, grant to your servants great boldness in their preaching, and send your healing power, and may miracles and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They asked God to do it. Sometimes I forget to ask. Sometimes I just expect that this world is not going to go my way and just let it be that way, instead of praying, God, can we see people's lives changed as your word is taught, as it's spoken? God, grant us boldness to be preaching and then show healing. And sometimes I think we expect it to go the other way around. God, could you show a miracle and then I'll stand up and start telling people about Jesus because I have this miracle and that's great. But even in their prayer, they're saying, God, first grant us boldness to speak and then back that up with the miracles. Now, something that's important, miracles don't solve everything. Sometimes we go, oh, if there's just a miracle, that will fix it. Or, oh, if there's just a miracle, then my friend or my family member will believe. That doesn't always work. Jesus did miracles, and then they killed him. But even if you read the book of Acts, he says that pretty clearly. There was Jesus. It was confirmed by miracles. You killed him. Paul did a miracle at one point in a city, and then people start calling him a god and start trying to worship him. You go, oh, you totally didn't get the point. The miracle wasn't for you to look at me. The miracle was for you to look at Jesus. Another time in Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas, they're doing miracles, and then a crowd wants to stone them. And at a different point, Paul casts out a demon, and then he gets beaten severely and thrown in jail. Sometimes, just because a miracle happens doesn't mean that it will make your life easier if God is working through you. So, again, the goal is not a miracle for the sake of a miracle. It's a miracle simply to confirm the message about who Jesus is. So we've seen what and when and how and why. An important question is where. Here's one of the things where we get stuck sometimes. We expect the where is Sunday morning church. Inside of a church building. And I've seen that happen. But if you look through the examples in the book of Acts, as we've been reading it, it happens in a prison, it happens on the street, it happens in the market, it happens in houses almost more often than anywhere else. One of them happens in a government building, another one happens at a temple gate. It's the where can be anywhere that we are being faithful to speak the word of God, and God wants to confirm it with a miracle. And so let's not constrict our idea of where to, oh, well, let's make sure that happens in church. I'm not saying we won't pray for you in church. I'm not saying we don't believe for it here in church. I'm just saying don't let it only be here. And so the who. That's the last one. Take a guess. Those that will believe. Those that will have faith in Jesus. I love one of the examples that we're given, and it is this man named Ananias who God shows up to him. And as far as we know, Ananias was a respected man in the church, but we don't hear his name any other time. He's just a man. He's a Christian. And God shows up to him and says, I want you to go to Straight Street because there's a man, Saul, there who needs you to lay hands on him. Now, most of us, I expect, if God shows up to you and says, go to this place, this time, talk to this guy. So many other times in the Bible, we see people just start to freak out and fall on their face and say, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Ananias doesn't do that. There's also the, oh, yes, God, I'll do exactly what you say. Ananias doesn't start with that either. Instead, he has this conversation with God and says, wait, God, is that the Saul that I'm thinking of? Because he's known for going around and killing people, and I heard that he was given permission to come to my city to start rounding up Christians. So I was going into hiding mode, and you're telling me to go walk up to him. And this amazes me, because then God says, yeah, that's the one. I have bigger plans for him. Now go. And I see in Ananias a man that I sometimes
feel like I am. Not the person who goes, I'm ready to go out and change the world and give me the hardest person. Give me the person who wants to kill me and I'm going to go up and I'm going to lay my hands on him and start praying for him. I don't always have that feeling. I'm sometimes like Ananias saying, God, are you sure you know what you're talking about? And if we'll listen honestly, I think God will say, yeah, I do. So now that I've given you a second time, go do it. May we be those people that do that. So I hope our prayer is this in Acts 4, that we would say the same thing. Sovereign Lord, help us, your servants, to speak your word without fear. And show us your power to heal and give proofs and make miracles happen by the power of Jesus, your holy servant.